Hello, hospitalitarians, and welcome back to another episode of the Hospitality MD podcast. Now, before we get started, please take a moment to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts and navigate over to our YouTube channel and press subscribe. Each and every one of our podcast episodes gets uploaded to YouTube. You'll also be able to find our weekly live streams in addition to other miscellaneous YouTube content that we are building out for you guys. This week's episode is with Kaylee Holly. Kaylee is a paralegal turned hotelier, now turned business owner. She owns and operates Up Travel Marketing. Up works with hotels on social media marketing and influencer marketing relationships, along with convention visitors bureaus and destination marketing organizations to help drive economic development in a particular location. Today, she is going to teach us all about influencer marketing, what it is, and why it's important for your hotel. Tune in. I learned so much from Kaylee, and I know you guys will too. This is Kaylee Holly on Hospitality MD. What is influencer marketing and why should you care? Enjoy the episode. Hospitality MD, welcome to the podcast. It's a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thanks for having me, Kyle.
Yeah, my absolute pleasure. So you are the owner and chief creative officer for Up Travel Marketing. So this is your new business venture formed out of the kind of devastation that COVID had on the industry. And, I guess the silver lining is that you're a business owner now. You're starting your new adventure.
Yeah, this was my step into my big official step into the world and working for myself and my passion project, and having been in hospitality and tourism for so long, being able to really form a company where I could make a difference and make a big splash in the industry.
Well, and that's great. You know, I definitely think like you, like me, like many others that we've been talking to recently, people have been ready to take that step, I think, after what's happened with COVID, because, you know, you see something that needs to be changed, right? And it's now that you don't have to go into your hotel and, you know, do your regular day-to-day job, you have time to dedicate to making a difference, which I think is definitely the huge upside to all of this. But before we dive into your current adventure, you're just a hospitality gal through and through. You've been doing this for a while. So let's go back. I asked this question to most of our interviewees. It's one of my favorite questions. And it's, when was the first time that you recall feeling hospitality? This could be as a kid in the industry. Dig deep. Like, did you have like this annunciation moment where you felt, wow, this is just great. I love this feeling.
Well, the first realization that I had that I loved hotels was probably when I was about 3 or 4. And it's crazy because I was so young, but I was living in Tokyo, living right outside of Tokyo, and my mom would take us to a hotel called the Sano, and it was right outside. And so we would go into this hotel, for me being 4 years old, I mean, it was the most beautiful thing that I'd ever seen. And we would have breakfast on the weekends. And that was kind of our special thing that we got to do. But that always stuck with me, that experience of being in a hotel and kind of just soaking all of that in. And it's always stuck with me. Now, where I didn't get my professional start in hotels, it was just always there in the back of my head. So the second that I did get into the hospitality industry, it was like this aha moment. Like, okay, Kaylee, this is exactly what you're supposed to be doing. This is what feels right. This is where you fit. And as a young teenager and an adult, going into jobs and studying, like, okay, is this the right fit for me? Am I, you know, does this feel right? And like I said, getting into hotels that first time was where it just all clicked. So I stuck with it, and I stayed in the industry from then on.
So it wasn't like from that moment when you were 3 or 4, like you weren't like, oh, I want to be a hotelier when I grow up. I want to do this. It was just so like subconsciously buried in your mind that you didn't even know that you enjoyed it. You didn't even know that you wanted to do it. But that feeling was still there. And so what other things have you done like kind of along the way before you stumbled upon hospitality? Like how did you actually start in the industry, I guess I would say.
So starting in the industry, I actually got my start. At the time, I was a full-time paralegal for a law firm. And a friend of mine was starting, they opened up, her and her family opened up a boutique hotel. And she said, "Hey, Kaylee, I need some help with I need some help with the bar and the kitchen on the weekends. You know, I've bartended before." So she's like, "Can you come and bartend and help, you know, kind of help us out?" I was like, "Yeah, sure, that's fine. You know, nights and weekends, no big deal. I'm not doing anything. That's great." So I did. And getting to talk to the guests that were coming in, getting asked the questions about the area and about the hotel, and just forming those relationships was what hooked me to start off with. So I continued on kind of doing that for almost about 2 years, like I said, off and on, seasonally, nights and weekends. And then the owner of the hotel got rid of his management company and took everything in-house. And so I spoke to him about my past and what I was capable of, and he offered me a full-time position. And so I grew with the company, you know, at the hotel, and worked my, you know, kind of worked my way up. And I left as a marketing and administrative manager. So I wore a lot of hats in a small, you know, in a small hotel. We all kind of helped each other out, and then opened up a new entertainment center property that he had as well. So 50,000 square feet, bar, restaurant, bowling alley, arcade. And then I left that position and took a little break. And then I started working for our local CVB DMO. So I was a national sales manager for them and got to promote the beautiful area that I live in all across the world. So got to work with meeting planners and associations and organizations to bring business to our area. And then I took a little bit of time off. I had my little girl. And then I went and started working for another company that owns and operates all of their hotels as an area sales manager. And then COVID hit. So you know, during being laid off and during that time, I just started thinking about what I wanted to do and where I wanted to go. And, you know, of course, like everybody else, what's happening, what's going to be next. And I didn't want to wait around and wait to see what was going to happen. So I started just formulating all these ideas and looking at all of these things that I had done in the past. And I had this aha moment. Influencer marketing and thinking about how I could give back to the hotels and what had happened during the pandemic and just the damage that had been done. It's like, okay, it's going to happen. We're going to get back. Everything's going to open up. It's a matter of time. What can I do to reset to help these hotels come back? And so that's when I formed Up Travel Marketing and really started refining the processes that had worked for me in the past. And so now trying to offer that out to independent and boutique hotels. So that's where we are today.
So I want to know more about this first hotel, right? So like, you know, where is it? How many rooms? Like how boutique are we talking here? Like it sounds
We're
like it was.
talking a 99 room boutique hotel on the beach in South Mississippi. The building actually started out as condos, and then the owner kind of bought out his partners in it and didn't want to turn it into a condo anymore, so he turned it into an all suite hotel property.
That actually sounds really, really, really nice.
You
99
see a
rooms,
lot
that's like
more
a
of it.
perfect size, all suites, really spacious because they used to be condos and you know, family owned, right? Like you said, your friend dad owned it, was it?
It was her boyfriend and his family that owned it. Yes.
Yeah, that's what a great start to get into the industry with. You know, a family that you could trust, you know, kind of giving you the opportunity to be flexible and kind of build your chops and your skills. Because, man, going from paralegal to, you know, hotelier, like what a night and day kind of thing. Like, I don't even know, like,
Yeah,
especially talking to you now, how did you even spend all those days behind in a cubicle in an office? Like, you must have been dying inside.
You know, the work was rewarding because I worked on the plaintiff side, so I got to help other people, not companies, not organizations, but I got to help people with their cases. So the work was very rewarding, being able to kind of see them through their journey, but it set me up so well for what I do now in understanding how things have to be structured. T's have to be crossed, I's have to be dotted. So that translates very well. It translated very well into the future steps that I took, and then landing where I'm at now, because that's still so much a part of my everyday life, and was as a sales manager and, you know, at the CVB and the DMO, and then, you know, doing what I did, working with contracts and negotiating those deals with meeting planners and conventions and groups that came into the hotels, it gave me an edge because I understood how all of that was structured.
You know, that's actually a really interesting point. Like, you know, you weren't a lawyer necessarily, but you have like that kind of awareness about contracts and legal, and just being in that environment, you're almost like your own mini counsel, like personally, you know, because you have a level of awareness that most people probably don't have. I mean, I was talking to Justin Essner. We were talking about sales. So in the interview that we did for the podcast, you know, he was telling me about how sometimes with his, you know, his past at Hilton Buena Vista Palace, you know, huge 1500 room property, like you have all these groups and conventions that, you know, sometimes they would skip out on their attrition or skip out on their guaranteed minimums and stuff like that. And sometimes they would have to go to court, and sometimes they would have to do all this stuff. Or if the salesperson didn't get the contract right, you could lose it all. So it's certainly like, I could totally see how all that kind of plays in and is a full circle for sure in the sales world. And then also in the small business world, in the marketing world, in negotiating with, you know, your business now. So what I want to know is, I think actually a lot of us probably want to know, like, what is influencer marketing? Because it's up travel marketing, but we're not talking about just your traditional run-of-the-mill craft cocktail picture posted every Friday on the Instagram page. Like, what are we talking about here?
Yeah. So influencer marketing, basically as a general description, is utilizing influencers who can be termed as, of course, influential people on a social media platform. And those social media platforms vary. You have, of course, your Facebook, your Instagram, YouTube, LinkedIn has influencers. Clubhouse is starting to kind of follow in that trend as well. You've got Twitch. We're in the technology age. So all of these new platforms and things are coming up. So utilizing influencer marketing is capturing through an influencer their audience. So spreading your message, talking about your brand through the influencer without having to go out, without putting your brand and your property in front of them yourself and spending those insane marketing dollars, advertising dollars in order to reach them. You partner with the influencer in order to do it with you.
So, right. So like, for those of us who don't know, and honestly, it's me and I'm sure a lot of other people, but what's the alternative to, like, how else would a hotel want to market their property? Like, what's kind of been done traditionally and what's still being done? Like, what's the other options really for hotel marketing?
All other kinds of advertising platforms. I mean, I still see hotels running television ads, radio ads. Of course, digital is huge. So SEO, SEM, you know, going through Google and doing advertising there. Local news stations are one of the usual advertising platforms. And then OTAs. And that's kind of that's what I try so hard to help hotels get away from, is the OTAs and the online booking engines. That's another way that hotels have had to advertise in order to get in front of people.
Well, you know, it's when a huge chunk of your business is coming from OTAs, and then you go onto those OTAs and every hotel and every Airbnb and every place, every lodging option in the area is listed on there, hotels are spending money so they're more visible on those platforms, is what you're kind of saying. They have to spend money just so Expedia or Booking.com will show their hotel to the people who are looking?
Yes and no. It doesn't always work that way. A lot of times where you list with the OTAs, there is some background work that's done in the GDS and in other places to rank high on the OTAs, and then advertising with that. But not only do you have that upfront cost of the advertising, then you also have the commissions that you pay on the back end for all of the rooms that are produced through the OTAs. So the unfortunate thing that's happening to independent and boutique hotels is that they have no choice but to use the Expedias, the Bookings, you know, all of these big OTAs, because they do have that reach. So how would anybody else know about them other than to look on Expedia or Booking.com? I'm offering this alternative that hundreds of millions of people are on every single day, and to reach a new demographic and to bring awareness to a new property that somebody may not know about. Because the way that the OTAs are set up is that you have to already have your destination in mind to have, you know, to find the property. You have to know that you're going to Kansas City to find a property. You don't necessarily just find the property and then build your trip around it. So we're just, what I'm doing is just bringing that awareness to a completely new generation that aren't using OTAs to find their hotels.
I got chills when you mentioned, like, you know, you have to know where you're going before you can use the OTA. Like, I knew that, like, I get that, but I didn't really think about it that way. Like, what you're doing and what the influencer marketing can do really in theory and in practice would be to not only provide awareness to a hotel, but also change the way that people plan their vacations, essentially, like completely kind of reinvent the wheel in terms of how people plan and look ahead. So that's super fascinating. Like, I'm learning a lot so far.
Well, exactly. And I mean, obviously with COVID, it's changed the way that people travel. So many people aren't hopping on planes anymore. Travel has become very regionalized. It's become very road trip oriented. So people will hop in a car, they'll drive 5 or 6 hours to get to a destination. So hotels have to pivot a little bit in their marketing strategy and get a little bit more regional. So reaching out to these influencers that are within their region and have the followers that are in their region and putting this information out to them and exposing their hotel to these travelers is going to give them a much better chance of converting that traveler and getting them to come in and stay in their hotel that they wouldn't have normally had.
Okay. So, because social media is not a new, it's new, right? In terms of the grand scheme of time, right? It's very new, but it's not like this is just something that's come out, you know, this year, last year, like, and hotels are still spending money on radio and television and like these antiquated, like, and probably spending way more money than they have to reach a dying medium of communication. Because like, I don't have cable television in my house. Like, I really don't, because first of all, why would I even want that at this point? but it's, you know, I think that's more and more common. Like, you know, friends that I have and people that I talk to, I feel like it's more and more common where it's like, people just don't do that. Like, if they want to watch live TV, they'll get like Hulu Live or something like that versus actually going through a Comcast or Dish Network or something like that. And this is where hotels are going. And radio, I mean, we have podcasts, we have not radio. We have Clubhouse. We don't have radio. Who listens to that? So it's like, I'm mind blown, because hoteliers are smart people, but it just seems like they've really kind of missed the boat on this one. Not that it's too late, but why has it taken so long? What's the holdup here?
In Europe? Well, I don't think that they're doing things wrong by, you know, advertising on the radio or advertising on the television, because obviously they're getting, you know, they may be getting business that way, and that's great and fine. The thing about influencer marketing is that you're reaching a new demographic and different generations that are coming in that are, you know, coming up. We all know you have to be, you know, most places you have to be 21 or older to rent a hotel room. So there are some that are missed, obviously, on the on some of the social platforms, and probably more, say, TikTok. That's a very a young generation. So Gen Z is the majority user of TikTok. But for Instagram, for Facebook, for Clubhouse, for, you know, for platforms like that, where you do have the Gen X and the millennials looking more for that, 50% of people state that they've made a decision, or they've learned about a new product, a new property, a new brand from social media. So if you're not advertising on social media, or if you're not exposing yourself on social media, there's instantly 50% of people of the population that you're missing out on converting over to you. So like I said, it's not that those other ways are wrong. It's opening up this platform and these possibilities to reach these generations, the Gen X, the millennials, and the older Gen Zs that are traveling, that have the money to travel, that are ready to, you know, they've been cooped up for months and they're ready to get out. So you have to put yourself in front of them. And influencer marketing is the easiest, most cost-effective way to reach the masses.
Well, I'm Gen Z, right? So I can tell you that I would certainly, and I'm over 21. I think hopefully we all know that by now, but I can rent a hotel room, right? But even as a, you know, for younger Gen Zs, I feel like if they're going on vacation with their parents, like, we shouldn't underestimate the fact that, you know, he or she is going to go to mom and dad and be like, hey, check this out, we have to go here, or, you know, whatever. And I kind of feel like most parents would be open to suggestions from their kids, because who do they want to have a good time? Their kids.
Yeah. Well, and you're absolutely right. It's like why a lot of grocery stores put the, they put the cereal aisle, for example. So all of the name brand cereals are right there at eye level of about maybe a 5 or a 6 year old. So it's like, mommy, daddy, I want this. So, I mean, as old as, you know, as marketing and advertising goes, of course you have that strategy of marketing to the kids instead of, you know, the parents. So it absolutely has all around benefits, whether, you know, whether it's Gen Z and the younger teenagers, but just getting your brand out there, in front of these customers that you may have never reached before.
So, and I didn't know that about the cereal, by the way. That's really interesting. I'm going to have to take a look next time.
go check next time.
So, why wouldn't I, as a hotelier, spend my advertising dollars if I said, okay, you know what, you're right. TV is too expensive and I'm not getting the right people. Like, you're really breaking through to me, but I don't know. I don't even know what an influencer is. I don't know anything about that. So I'm just going to get some paid ads on Facebook and I'm going to do that. Like, what's the difference between like a social media paid ad and influencer marketing? And why is one better than the other?
So I don't think that they're necessarily better than the other. I think that they can work in harmony. And you definitely need a digital strategy to market your hotel, and then remarketing as well. But influencer marketing, in order for it to be successful, obviously has to go along with a digital marketing strategy. Your content, what you're posting, like you mentioned, posting a picture of a craft cocktail on your social media page every couple of days isn't going to attract guests into your hotel. There has to be a strategy. There's a rhyme and a reason behind what you post, what kind of captions you put towards it, what hashtags you're using that's going to drive the interest interest in your property. So obviously the digital, you know, the digital side of things is not what I deal in. I focus solely 100% on the social media and the influencer marketing side of it. And there's kind of two different points to why I feel like hotels haven't really jumped on this train yet. Is that one, start about 6 or 7 years ago when Instagram really started to kind of gain some traction, is that everybody was an influencer. So before a lot of these insights were available and before a lot of this data was made available, you know, everybody was calling hotels, and it was excessive. The amount of, I was in hotels at this point. So the amount of inquiries and the amount of people that we had coming in saying, oh, you know, I can put pictures and I'll get you in front of all of these people. And as hoteliers, I think that there was a lot of want to get in on that. And like you said, hoteliers are intelligent. We're very smart, and seeing the potential in that. It's like, oh, you're going to get my hotel in front of 100,000 people. But the part that was lacking was the trackable ROI and the data. And so while the influencer maybe did post their picture and, you know, we don't know how many people saw it, of course, at that time, hotels weren't able to track that. So what was the conversion? What heads and beds did we get from that? And that's where I feel like influencers have really upped their game now, is that they're, you know, they've caught on to this. In order to get these partnerships and to work with these hotels, they have to back up what, you know, what they're putting out there. You've got to show your engagement and how many clicks and how many, you know, what your engagement rate is. So hotels, I feel like, are in a better position to make sure that they're getting what they pay for, in that sense. And the like I said, with that, not able to track the ROI. So with the engagement and showing all of those numbers and getting the clicks to the hotels is fantastic. But how do you know that those came from the influencer? How do you know that they saw you or that they learned about you on Instagram? A lot of times that gets lost somewhere in the process. The great thing about what I've done is I have really tracked down the problems and the holes that need to be filled with that to be able to give hotels that 100% trackable data and the ROI for what they are putting into influencer marketing can translate into bookings and how successful it is.
So yeah, because it sounds like you almost describe like they got burned at one point, hotels, like to a certain extent.
You know, I don't want to, I hate to put it like that, but I feel like a lot of, I mean, I'm speaking from personal experience with the hotel that I was working at the time, the inquiries and the emails that we were getting, it was all the time, you know, and of course, comping a stay in return for collateral is kind of an industry standard. That's kind of just how it works. So that was one thing, like I said, speaking from personal experience on that, it was hard to track what we got out of it. And you can't keep doing something when you're not seeing the results.
Right. You know, I don't think I've really dealt with this much, you know, just on the op side. Maybe I have, and I just didn't know it because maybe influencers are checking in and nobody was informed about it, which I think could also be another problem in and of itself.
I've solved that.
Oh, you have a solution for that too?
I have a solution for that too.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's good, because like, if the influencer comes and the director of sales knows about it and the GM knows about it, but like, do you almost feel like they need to be treated like a VIP to a certain extent? Like what's your kind of, do you have any sentiments on like their kind of that execution at the property level in application?
It really just depends on the hotel. Personally, from my perspective, a hotel should put its best foot forward anytime and every time. Every guest is a VIP, and nobody should be treated any differently otherwise. But I do think that there are certain steps that need to be taken, you know, to make sure that you are putting your best foot forward in advance of this kind of a visit. So if an influencer was coming in, you know, maybe the GM or the director of sales doesn't necessarily need to be apprised of it and do anything in particular. particular. But it just kind of, it goes back to the ROI. So being able to know who's in-house and where that was tracked from and how the booking originated is what I've kind of, if is the problem that I've solved is yeah. knowing that every single time and being able to report on it. So that's great. But no, I don't think that any extra steps should be taken for that reason. But also is that the influencer needs to go in and have an authentic experience and needs to be able to showcase that experience. Because if you're telling all of your followers about, oh, this amazing stay that I had and they did this and they did that, that's what they're going to expect when they come into the hotel. And if they don't experience that when they come into the hotel, they're going to be left very disappointed. And as I'm sure we all know, it reviews cannot be deleted and they're there forever online and everybody can find them. So if they don't experience what they were told they would experience, they're going to let the world know.
That's interesting. Yeah. Cause like, I guess you could go about it in kind of two of the different directions, treat them like, you know, a very official VIP. You could have an amenity in the room and have the director of sales meet them at check-in and do all this stuff. But that could also backfire because you're not managing the expectations of the influencer's audience properly. And as the hotel, if you're hosting an influencer, it's almost like your responsibility to make sure that they're presenting it as if they just like made the decision to stay there on their own. Like, you know, and it was kind of just, oh, checked out this hotel and it's really cool. I like wanted to share it with everybody. But one of the kind of objections that I can think of, right? Like I follow some travel influencers on Instagram and you get like a lot of, you know, you'll get like a whole bunch of stories, you know, people will post on their Instagram story or something like that. And there's going to be like, you know, when these influencers are at the hotels, because each like tick along the story is like this big and there's going to be like 100 of them. And then yes. At that point I just don't care. And I click through them. But either way, it's like, sometimes it's like overload. And then in 24 hours, it's gone forever. And that's the end of it. Like, I don't know how do you overcome that? Like, does it matter? Do you think, or what's your opinion on that?
Don't take this personally, but not everybody thinks like you, Kyle. no. And you're right. There are some influencers that I follow and a lot of them are products and brands and stuff like that. So they'll sit here talking, you know, through 10 slides about this new moisturizer that they got. And I just happened to kind of click through it, but that's not why I normally follow that influencer. So I follow travel influencers because I genuinely am interested to see what they're doing in the places that they're going in, the hotels that they're staying at. So I'm one of those that does click through the stories, and everybody may not. But the people that follow them generally do know that they do that and they follow them for that reason. Does that make sense?
It does. And I will say that admittedly for me, I think really the only reason that I follow them is because I'm curious to know more about travel marketing and influencer marketing as it relates to hotels, because I'm so kind of new to this subject.
Right. But
not necessarily because I personally am going to be planning a vacation necessarily as a result.
You're just looking at it from a different perspective.
Well, because like I'm a hotelier. So more through an analytical lens versus like a leisure kind of interest lens, but I get it because I see the results of it in terms of engagement. Like you can see it because sometimes you'll have, you know, stories come up afterward. If they like ask a question about like, oh, do you think this is cool? And then you see like 100 people responding back to it about how awesome it is or whatever. So, like I said, I definitely think that depending on who you are, you could certainly, you know, find value in that. But I guess my main point was if it's a kind of like a one-time thing, right? Like, is that enough, or what do you think like the strategy should be? Because you could do it one time and I'm sure that's great, but I don't know. Do you think it should be something that's a long-term kind of?
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. So, and that's one of the great things, the value that I bring is that I do structure of course, like you said, anybody can do it one time and that's great. And you might have a spike of interest, but that's just one time. And we're finding that just like hoteliers with their guests, you want to create repeat guests. You want to build that brand loyalty. You want guests to keep coming back. You want to do the same thing with your influencers. You don't just want an influencer to come in one time, stay. They're posting that one story and they're done. And then their followers never see your property again. They never hear from you again or anything else. So what I like to focus on the most with my influencer marketing strategies are long-term strategic partnerships with these influencers, where you are not an always on, but you're consistently in front of your target market. So with the influencers, the way that I've structured it is, in going back to like the contracts and the scope of agreements that I've created, is there is a general repetitiveness of the property in keeping it in front of their followers to remind them about, oh, hey, this great property, Flashback Friday is a great opportunity for that. So you keep these influencers, your property in front of the followers, of course, not to a point where it's, you know, ridiculous and you kind of, you know, that's all the influencer is talking about, of course, right. Because then it gets repetitive and that's not what you want. But on a regular basis, just reminding your followers, it's like, oh, hey, do you remember 3 months ago when I went to this great property? They're running this special right now, and continuing to put that option, you know, put that opportunity out there to convert those direct, you know, to convert their followers into a direct booking with your property.
Because I mean, that honestly, like, I've never seen that before, I don't believe, in my personal like observations. I don't think I've ever seen, like, because like I was saying, like, you know, I'm used to that, like, you know, one 24-hour period where there's 100 stories and then they disappear and that's the end of it. But that's cool because like you don't have to necessarily have them come back. It could be like that one stay that keeps on the gift giving. That keeps on giving, almost. Exactly. Like on social media. And then rather than like that one, right, that spike of interest that you talked about where it's just like one big blast, it's like when they're not so much expecting it, right? When the followers aren't so much expecting it. Oh, look, I remember this. Like I can go back and I remember this, or now they're doing a special or something like that where you're renewing interest almost. And it's not just, because right. It's not just like a one-time like fad almost. It's a consistent relationship that continues to give and give. Cause I think one thing about social media, right, there's always new content coming out and people's attention is always going to the next thing. So it's almost that like overcoming that by providing attention again and again and again and again.
Exactly. And the reason why you want to do it that way is because people aren't constantly glued to their phones and they're not watching. They may not be watching the second you post something. Myself, am I on social media off and on all day? Absolutely. That's part of, you know, that's part of what I do. But there may be that story that gets posted at 11 o'clock at night and I'm already asleep and I might miss it. And I get busy the next day and I don't have a chance to go back and look at it. So the reasoning behind that kind of consistent rotation through is to have that potential to get it in front of the person that maybe missed it last time. So that's why the one shot campaigns don't always work out for the best in the long term, because then you're missing out on somebody who may not have seen it and you're giving them an opportunity to know about your property.
That's certainly interesting. And like I said, not necessarily something that I see all the time in my own observations. One thing I'm also curious about, you know, in kind of maybe if you have an opinion, like, is this only for boutique hotels? Like, could this be for brands too? Like, who can take advantage of this?
I mean, honestly, influencer marketing with as expansive as it is, could really be for anything or anybody. You just have to figure out how to make it work for you, and then structure it the best way. Now, I don't only just work with boutique and independent hotels. As we know, hotels are in a destination. So I also work with tourism bureaus, destination CVBs, on this influencer marketing strategy as well, because so many of them are funded through taxpayer dollars through hotel stays. So you have an occupancy tax or a city tax or a convention tax that goes to fund, more times than not, these nonprofit organizations. And of course, COVID has completely shuttered a lot of them too. But when you bring a hotel, when you bring an influencer into a hotel, the influencer isn't necessarily staying in the hotel all day. You may want to, you know, there may be a restaurant in the hotel and that's great. But they may want to get out and do things. And that's, we try and mirror what the traveler would be doing too. The traveler isn't necessarily going to stay in the hotel all day. They want to go out and see the sights and the attractions and the nature walks and the things to do in the area. So that's where working with your local CVB DMO helps to just intensify that influencer marketing strategy, because then you can bring exposure to your local restaurants, to your local shops, to your local attractions, museums, you know, things of that nature. So the economic impact into a destination for that could be, it's sky's the limit.
Right. Especially now, I feel like, because there's so many things to choose from. So not only just so many hotels to choose from, so many destinations, and really, like, especially when the ball is kind of in the court of the leisure traveler right now, they can choose to go anywhere. So being able to bring that, like, high tides raise all ships to a community, which would kind of impact everyone, huge, huge. Yep. For that community. And actually, I didn't even know about the taxes that they went to these CVBs and DMOs. I had no idea about that. That's very
well. And some of them are structured differently, but typically that's how CVBs and DMOs are funded, through incentives. So taxes that are added on, or, you know, federal grants, things that come into the local governments.
That's super, super fascinating. So for hotels, right, who are just, you know, they're just, I guess, maybe stuck, or they're not sure, like, you know, because it's still so new, what would your advice be for anybody who just feels like they're not, I don't know, maybe just scared or nervous to take the plunge and kind of step into this new world of influencer marketing? What would you say?
Honestly, education is the best, I think, is the best solution for that. Getting to look at the data, getting to look at the analytics. You know, you can graph and PowerPoint and everything all day, but getting to actually talk to, let's say, from the CVB or the destination DMO side, talking to your hotel partners, talking to your industry partners that are there in the area, hotels, talking to other hotels that have done it, talking to other influencers that maybe, you know, pose themselves into the travel blogging space or things like that. But just having these conversations, which I think we're doing so well right now, I think just the industry in and of itself is just talking to each other and finding out about these things. And it's not going to be, you know, this isn't something for everybody. But I think that if it is a fit for your property, that the potential that it has is just crazy.
That's a good point, right? Like, so, you know, if I'm the owner of a Holiday Inn Express, like somewhere off the highway, for example, nothing wrong with that. That's cool and everything. But maybe for me, it's just not the best use of maybe not the best place to leverage my advertising dollars, if at all. So it's more so about, if it is a right fit, kind of finding that out and really considering it, but then just having an open mind, would you say, is just being open to learning?
Well, we've all pivoted. Every single one of us have pivoted either personally, professionally, you know, during these last 10 months, people have found different ways of doing things that are going to make things work for you. And in these interstate hotels, these airport hotels, without having the business, have found other ways of appealing to travelers and are finding different markets to go after. And there has been some, you know, staycation, and there still is a very little bit of business travel going on. Some of these hotels may have closed temporarily, hopefully just temporarily and not permanently.
Right.
But yeah, certainly Instagram, you know, influencer marketing isn't necessarily for every property. There is a certain Instagrammable factor, we'll say, that your property may have to work well with influencers. But that's something that I talk to every hotel about during the initial consultation. Is I kind of review their property, I do a little bit of background and look at it and let them know first off before even continuing the conversation. But I'm such an out of the box thinker, so I can always try and find maybe an avenue that they haven't looked at or a perspective that they maybe haven't thought of yet in order to sell their hotel or to market their hotel. So that's my way of being able to give back, is just offering insight.
That's that Instagram ability for sure. I think it's, if you know, you know, and I think it's, you know, if you have it, you kind of know you have it. But then again, maybe there's another avenue like that you didn't think of. I'm pretty weird in my hotel nerdiness that, like, you know, and there's probably not a market for this except just for me. But like, my friend went on a road trip recently, you know, taking advantage of the outdoor destinations and traveling regionally. And he was staying at like some of the roadside hotels along the way. He was staying at like a La Quinta and like a Best Western, I think. And I was literally telling him when he got there, like, send me a video of the room. Like, let me see what everything looks like. Let me check it out and everything. And I was like, that's like influencer marketing to me, even in this middle of nowhere on the side of the road. But I know that that's probably a little weird. Maybe not for everybody on Instagram.
not at all. Like I said, there's a market for every hotel. If there wasn't, the hotel wouldn't exist. It's just about finding your niche, looking at who your traveler is, and then strategizing that way to appeal to that traveler. And as we all know right now, you know, RV travel is huge. Road trips are huge. So there are those interstate hotels that are seeing so much more. Look at Cody, Wyoming, for example. That destination has just exploded because of all of the, you know, people getting out into the parks and people wanting to get outside and looking at these things. They have seen exponential growth that they normally wouldn't see. So that's one destination, and the hotels in there may have never looked at influencer marketing. But being out there and seeing other people traveling there, they did influencer marketing without even probably knowing it. It's about the visibility of your hotel to the masses. However, the messages that you're portraying, it's just getting the message out there to the traveler that would sleep in your hotel.
That's actually really interesting. I'm sure some of the places have had influencer marketing and had no idea it was happening. Because exactly. I started thinking back to, you know, the TikTok, you know, 17-year-old TikToker who has a million followers because they did a cool dance in like the first 2 weeks that TikTok was around. And now they're on a road trip with their family somewhere. And just the entire time, like, because that's just what she does, is on TikTok and showing people about, you know, where they're at. And I wouldn't be surprised. That's kind of an interesting thought. You just don't know unless you're aware, I guess. So, I mean, I think even another message that I can think of for hotels of any like segment or any level or serving any traveler, like, be aware of, you know, what your location in your local area is like on social media and see what kind of opportunities there are, because one thing's for sure, it is not going away. It is only going to become more and more integral, I think, to the way we communicate, the way we interact. Look what happened with this whole Reddit thing this past week. Like,
I know, right?
This is like the power of social media right here. Like, the world is getting together and communicating and overthrowing, like, to a certain extent, right, an institution that's been here since, you know, forever, basically, that was like untouchable for so long. But the way we communicate over the internet is super powerful. Now we know that it moves markets. People's wallets are influenced by, you know, social media. So, I mean, it's kind of just like you can't ignore it because it's here and it's only going to get more and more critical for sure.
You have to make it work for you.
Absolutely. Now, I want to just kind of wrap up the interview by just checking in, right? Like you know, this is your new adventure, right? You've left hotels, obviously kind of not at your own choice off the bat, but like, how are you doing? Are you happy? This has been something that you've enjoyed doing and kind of building this business during the pandemic and during quarantine? Like, you know, I want to give you the opportunity maybe to give some words of inspiration for anybody else who may be laid off or kind of wondering what they're doing. You know, now that their hotel is either closed or they're still haven't gotten called back.
Yeah, absolutely. Making this jump on my own, it was scary, definitely, but necessary. And I think that one of my mottos is that nothing good happens inside of the box. Everything worth having, you know, takes that risk, takes that chance. And doing this and having these social platforms kind of at your fingertips, Clubhouse and LinkedIn, I got to meet you. So that's been, you know, that's been fantastic. And so, but making new friends and making these new connections and getting to talk to people, from all around the world, literally from London to Australia, and getting to share my love of hotels and travel and hospitality has made so many new connections, not just professionally, but personally. And I think that that's one thing that everybody has been craving so much is just that human connection. So even in a time where we can't necessarily be in front of people and be around in a room together, social media is what kind of brings all of that together and coming back full circle. But I'm great. I'm loving it. I'm loving what I'm learning, and I'm getting, you know, like I said, getting to meet so many new people and learning about all of these different sectors of and verticals of the hospitality industry has been just invaluable.
Yeah. You inspire me, by the way, because I learned so much, like even just from this, doing this podcast interview, like just, as much as like, you know, I've obviously spent time in the hotel industry, this is just foreign to me, like you leveraging influencers and stuff. So I've learned a lot. It's inspiring that you've through the, like your own desire just to make the industry a better place and to help others, have done something that is very, it takes guts to go out on your own and put yourself out there too, where you're like, hey, I'm doing this. I'm going out on my own. I'm starting my own business. I'm, you know, stepping out onto the thin ice, so to speak, during the worst crisis ever recorded for the hotel industry. You're starting a business for hotels. Like, it's scary, but it's inspiring at the same time. And I also echo your sentiments too. Like, for me, I have so many like friends that I've met on social media that I've never met in person, but I actually feel like they are like my true, like the relationship is real. Like, you can't take anything away from the relationship, even though it's only digital, because, you know, it's, you look out for each other. Like, I know that you've got my back no matter what, as I hope you feel that way to me as well. And likewise with a lot of the other people that I think we've both been meeting.
Oh, absolutely. And like I said, the first step is just to do it, because I mean, you've got nothing to lose. You're not going to get anywhere by not doing something. So that's really just how I've been. That's my mindset and where I've kind of been the last 10 months is that, Kaylee, you've just got to get up and do it. You've just got to do it. You got to make that phone call. You got to make that connection request on LinkedIn. Don't overthink it. Don't second guess it. Click the button, do the things, do all the things. And so that's where I'm at. I'm doing all of the things.
That is beautiful and awesome. So let's give our listeners a chance to connect with you and become friends with you and learn more about what you do, because you certainly have a lot of value to add to somebody's hotel or just to somebody's life and just being a friend. So Up Travel Marketing, right? So you're on LinkedIn. And
yep, I'm on LinkedIn, or you can reach me. All my contact information is at www.uptravelmarketing.com. I'm also on Instagram, like I said, LinkedIn, as well as on Clubhouse.
Right. That's the new one that we have to start including in like the social media plugs, because it's the shit. Like, we're going to keep using
it. Really it really is. It's amazing. It's amazing to be able to get into a room, not only with fellow hospitality, colleagues, but to get to listen to, all of these people. What was it? Oh, Elon Musk was on TV on a Clubhouse room last night. Right. So to have the opportunity to sit there and listen to somebody talk and learn about things, whether you like Elon Musk or not, I'm just using that as an example, but anybody, to be able to listen to them talk and to be able to ask questions and to get all of that knowledge and to be inspired and motivated, anything you're looking for, there's a room for it on Clubhouse, which is great. But I've made so many new connections and learned so many new things and gotten to, shoot ideas off of people and get their opinions. And I've been able to give feedback and I've been able to help people on there as well. So I think that Clubhouse is growing every single day. So the more people that are invited in on it, and that's just exponentially growing. And then eventually when they add in the Google Play Store as a platform and Android users,
Yeah, I mean, it's literally like, it's hard to imagine how big it's going to be. And that's why, like, for everybody listening, most of us here on the Hospitality MD podcast are hospitality people. There is, like Kaylee mentioned, a growing niche of hospitality people that are just coming out of the woodwork every day. So please, like, hit me up if you need an invite to Clubhouse. I do have some, and I'm getting,
I've got a couple left.
So just like, yeah, let us know if you want to get on Clubhouse and we'll get you there. By the time that this airs, it'll be over, but like, Kaylee and I are hosting a room together tomorrow, and I'm sure we'll do more in the future. So like, get on there with us. Like, we'd love to talk to you. It's the place to be right now, for sure.
Absolutely. Yep. That'd be great.
Awesome. Well, Kaylee, thanks for being on the show. We appreciate
your contribution. Thanks for having me, Kyle.
Yeah, my pleasure. Hey guys, thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of the Hospitality MD podcast. We appreciate each and every one of you tuning in to check out our content every week. If you haven't already, please be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel, leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, and learn more about us by checking out our website at www.hospitality-md.com. Please also be sure to connect with Kaylee and learn more about Up Travel Marketing at her links in the show notes for today's episode, and we will see you back again next week.